Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend Jordan. And how are you doing today, Jordan? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Currently waiting for the Splatoon to finally download because I lost my bet with Nintendo last episode.
Yeah, that it goes live in just a couple hours after our recording today, huh?
Yeah. I heard that you got your OLED Switch, the Splatoon one.
Yeah, I love it so much. And in true Nintendo fashion, of course, the special edition doesn't come with Splatoon pre-installed.
How much does the OLED cost? I think we talked about last episode.
Yeah, it was the OLED is $350. Yeah. And the Splatoon OLED is $360 for like the extra detail and paint job. And I think it came with something else in it. I don't remember. But it looks so pretty. And I love the OLED screen. And honestly, I needed a better Switch for handheld gaming. I mean, this is my third Switch, so I guess I didn't need another Switch. But I loaded up like Hollow Knight on it, Jordan, and I was in God Home, apparently, on my save file. And in the bench in God Home, it's like pitch black everywhere except for some little beams of light in the hallway of champions. And it was amazing to see like the super dark background on the Switch handheld and then just like the glowing white. It was so cool.
Yeah, Hollow Knight would be a very good game to try an OLED screen on. Just because of how much black there is.
Yeah, it was a great choice for me. Another really good one is actually Crypt of the Necrodancer, because you kind of reveal the map as you go in the music rhythm roguelike dungeon. So it works really well for that too. But anyway, I'm really happy to have the OLED. I've wanted one for actually quite a while. And like we said on last week's episode, it does not seem that likely anymore that the Switch Pro is coming anytime soon.
It's going to be a while, at least like earliest is March. But even that, I'm starting to have doubts on.
Yeah, I mean, there are rumors popping up like this week from another credible source. I mean, how many credible sources are we going to get? It's like, it's coming next year. I promise, guys. It's like, OK,
well,
we know it needs to come. But
the rumor mill right now is that there's going to be a direct next week. But if it happens, I guess we'll talk about it next week, but I don't know about that. So we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
However, this week we got some Pokemon news.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. Well, as much as the Pokemon company could fit into what, a 4-minute trailer, which honestly was a lot.
Decent amount. Yeah. They started off by showing the three story paths, and it was basically how we were saying it would be, where it's just one is just the Pokemon League, one is the evil team, and the other is whatever the treasure hunt thing is that they have going on.
Yeah.
I feel like, so until I get the game, like obviously I can't really speak too harshly on it, but it kind of looks pretty watered down from what I would have liked from a three like breakaway story, because all they really did is just take like the aspects of a normal Pokemon story and just split them into three different paths, right?
Yeah, honestly, instead of having them all merged into the single, this is the story path that you follow and you learn about legendaries and you learn about the evil team and you're beating the gyms all in one go. It's like, now you can pick which one to focus on and do them in whatever order you please, but also like, now they're just completely isolated stories. When it came to a lot of the older games, especially like, I don't know, Black and White, as you progressed throughout the game and felt like you were getting stronger through like the league system, you were suddenly given more and more responsibility regarding like what the evil team was doing and had to like take them on and then also go and find Zekrom or Reshiram depending on your game. And I just remember that story just felt so good from start to finish, simply because it was so well interconnected and made it feel like you were getting stronger. And I just don't know how that's going to work for Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do the balancing for this. I imagine it like would fix issues like, say, with Gold and Silver, right, where Team Rocket was really weak and they kind of were just jammed at the end of the game because we need Team Rocket here. But like thematically, it doesn't make sense to have Team Rocket have much of a Pokemon pool base outside of these really weak Pokemon. So it's just, it kind of became like a slog going through the Team Rocket stuff at right. the end.
Right. Especially since the Team Rocket stuff in Gen 2 felt like it went on forever because it was just such an interruption in the rest of the game.
So now if they want to have something like that, they can have just like, well, here's the path for the evil team, but we don't really expect, like, narratively for the evil team to be really that big of a threat in the world altogether. So they're going to be level capped much lower than the other two paths, and we just expect you to go do this one first or something
along
those lines.
Which is kind of a shame, simply because, like, the leaks and I guess even the Pokemon official website itself have said that there is no level scaling based on your current progress through the story. So it's like, okay, so what if I do the league first and I suddenly have level 60 Pokemon, you know, if that's like the highest they get. In some games, it gets up to like 70 or whatever. But, you know, I have level 60 Pokemon and then I go take on, you know, Starfall Street, the evil team, or I guess delinquent team in this game. If I take them on with level 60s, are they going to have like level 10s and level 15s and I just completely wipe the floor?
Yeah, it sounds like even though they're trying to like market it as this big open game, there's definitely a very clear intended linear path to follow.
Which is such a shame for how they're trying to make it be like, you can go on your own adventures and do whatever you want type thing when it comes to the game. Like, I swear they reiterated that like four times in the trailer.
Yeah, it's definitely a big selling point. I just don't think they put a lot of thought into the actual systems for it.
No.
But we'll see when the game actually comes out. They haven't given us enough information to be too harsh on them for it. I just don't have any faith in Game Freak with what we've heard so far.
Hey, we haven't had any difficult Pokemon games since Black and White, so.
Yeah, and that one also had a hard mode available.
Exactly. Where's the hard mode for Scarlet and Violet?
But yeah, I do hope that if this is going to be a more open game, that at least the league route is capped much higher than in previous games. So like Gym 8 is literally like leveled 80 or something.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
And then the Elite Four is actually level 100. And like you're just expected to beat the rival team by like level 40 or something like normal. And then you can get the legendary at level 50 or something like normal. But like the actual core league of the game is like this ominous like presence throughout the whole game.
It might be possible that they do it that way simply because it seemed like champion is a rank in this region rather than there just being one champion. So it might be possible that there are high level trainers and they're actually like, you need to rank up to champion by beating the gyms and then taking on the lead.
You need to raise your Elo score.
Could you imagine?
Against computers.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I don't know. Do you think that they might actually give the gym leaders competitive EVs and good movesets and items?
Yes. I think Pokemon has been moving that direction in the last few games, even though like the games themselves have not been on the hard side. The teams Game Freak seems to be very aware of like competitive Pokemon at this point and like what makes a good competitive team. And so we do see reminiscence of like these team building strategies within a lot of their gym leaders in recent games.
I mean, I would say that Sword and Shield's gyms weren't that difficult, but there were definitely pretty good themes, especially like Raihan's weather team. That was actually really interesting that they pulled that off. Yeah. And then even Leon's champion team was pretty balanced. And then, of course, we have the only good thing that came out of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and that is actual EV competitive spreads on all of the gym leaders in Elite Four and champion battles. And like crazy good movesets and held items for the Elite Four. And I mean, I know, you know, I'm in a couple of different casual Pokemon Discord servers, and I remember when Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl came out, how many people were upset that they couldn't just sweep Cynthia with their level 80 starter that had random EVs. And I was like, yeah, no, they actually tried to make it difficult. So I really do hope that Scarlet and Violet do the same.
I think it will, just because like clearly they've been experimenting with it with the previous games, and they haven't gotten any negative pushback for it. In fact, they've gotten a small amount of praise for it. Most people don't even notice this thing, though.
Yeah. I did want to ask you, Jordan, you know, Starfall Street is the name of the path, or at least the name the trailer gave the path for the evil team. Did you notice how the engine of the car looked sentient?
Yeah. So there was a little bit of it in the trailer, but you could easily miss it. But I believe I saw some of the concept art afterwards.
Yeah.
And
it has a tongue.
It's very clearly, it's definitely Pokemon.
Yeah. And it looks like there are multiple of these Team Star groups scattered across the region, because they said that the new character that was revealed, I forgot to write down her name. She's the leader of the fire group. And so it seems obvious that there are multiple of these groups, and they probably all have crazy looking cars that are powered by the same engine Pokemon.
I think so, because like you have a dragon vehicle as well. So I think there's going to be a like X, or there's going to be some like vehicle thing that is vehicle and then some like main type. So like fire, dragon, whatever, rock, probably.
Yeah,
I don't know how much I would like it, because I don't really like the sentient object Pokemon, but it is what it is. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, well, it'll be interesting to see how that story plays out.
It'll be interesting if they're just like boss Pokemon or if they're actually obtainable Pokemon as well, because they could be stuff. They could be very similar to how the trials were in Sun and Moon. Because so in the trailer, we saw like one half of the trials coming back where you have to do like some sort of objective thing before you can challenge a gym leader.
Right.
And so then like in the other part of the trials was that you'd fight a boss Pokemon, and that might have been moved over to the rival teams.
No, well, there's also the boss Pokemon slash totem slash whatever. They're actually calling them totem. Titans now in the Path of Legends. So
it's also possible that this giant car or whatever is his totem form, or whatever the equivalent of that is.
No, that's
and then good. Like the actual base form of it is not as like large.
I could see that. Yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool. So yeah, anyway, that's kind of Starfall Street. I would like to see more of it.
I'm not too big of a fan of this evil team.
Yeah, no. I know a lot of people really like the delinquent type teams. You know, none of the teams in the last three generations have really been that evil. You know, Team Skull, they would just kind of wanted to do their own thing and just messed with you more than anything. And then what was the team in the last game? Whatever the punk team was, like, they were so forgettable that I don't even remember their names. They were just fans of Marnie. And like the real evil team was actually like the foundation of the gym. But even then, they weren't that evil. They were just following the orders of the chairman. Yeah, we haven't had a proper evil team since, I guess, X and Y. But I don't know. I'd like to see them return with like bigger stakes like we had in previous generations, but delinquent teams can be really fun, and it honestly makes a lot of the characters more likable.
Well, so here's the other thing I kind of have an issue with. Because they've now separated the legendary Pokemon from the evil team, they're going to have like absolutely no like menacing threat to them, right? they're basically just going to be outposts just scattered around the open world as side quests.
Yeah,
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of significance to this route. And like Game Freak is kind of overplaying what presence they actually have. I mean, I think it's going to play a lot like an objective route where you go to the school and they're like, oh, there's this like barbarian fort out over there. Go walk over there and then like beat them all and come back and we'll send you the next barbarian fort.
Yeah,
like the Ubisoft open world kind of style of quest lines.
Yeah, even Horizon Zero Dawn had some of those types of locations.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that that's the most likely case, but considering some of the leaks, which we won't talk about specifics, it seems like there are actually quite a few legendary Pokemon that they're adding in this generation, more than they've done in a while. So it is possible that there's some sort of tie-in to a legendary Pokemon, but I'm not going to bet anything on that.
Well, they led on that. And so like in the trailer, they were talking about a legendary Pokemon being tied to the third route, right?
The Path of Legends.
Yeah, the Path of Legends. So I think that's where the legends are going to be. If it's the Path of Legends, there's going to be more than one legend on that route.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't think there's going to be legends on the barbarian route. That's what I'm going to call it now. It's just barbarian outpost route.
Barbarian outpost, where they've literally copied and pasted the same male and female characters all over the map again. Because yeah. Who wants to bother programming in any sort of randomization when it comes to NPCs? But anyway, we mentioned briefly Path of Legends, just to kind of go over a little bit of that. You know, you're going to be going to the lairs of Titans and collecting their Herba Mystica, which is a mystical herb of some kind. It seems like it's based all around cooking. This story gives off very heavy Crown Tundra vibes from Sword and Shield's DLC, where Peony had you go off and do a bajillion different quests to get the legendary Titans, you know, the Reggie Pokemon, as well as then I guess working with Sonia for the Swords of Justice. And then, of course, the Galarian legendary bird trio, the Galarian forms of the Kanto birds. And so, I mean, given that it's like, go off and do this thing and find this thing, it just seems like an evolved version of those quests to me.
Yeah, I could see it. So really what we're saying is there's only one real route and then two side quest routes.
Honestly, that's what it feels like. If they do not tie in story-wise at all, that's definitely what they are. Because to me, the Pokemon story has always been your main goal is to defeat the League. And I think that Game Freak is also holding on to that as their main quest line anyway.
So are there going to be 8 gyms? Do we have confirmation on that?
I don't think from official trailers we've seen that.
I'm kind of wondering if they increase the amount of gyms, if it's going to be like a story route that you can go at them at any point in the game.
That's a good question. We'll have to wait and see on that. I hope they add more gyms. 8 always seemed like too few.
Yeah. Do 18. Don't be a coward.
Do every type.
Do one for every type. Yeah.
And I mean, even if you make it so that the story to get to the League is just, you just have to have the badges of like 8 or 10 or whatever to be endorsed for attempting the League, then that would be cool too. Or just require all 18, because honestly, if you can't make a team around balancing against every single type, then what kind of trainer are you? know. You know, we talked about the Titans. You know, these Titans are the like kind of bosses of each lair for the Path of Legends. What's interesting, though, is I saw that in the German translation of the text box on the bottom, it used the same word as totem, like they did in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon and Sun and Moon. So I think that they are very clearly pulling from those ideas. I would say that they're pulling ideas from the Alpha Pokemon, but it is blatantly obvious that the team of Scarlet and Violet did not work on Legends Arceus or take any ideas from Legends Arceus.
Yeah, they seem like completely separate teams that didn't communicate much at all with each other.
I mean, it's possible, but I honestly don't think that these are going to be obtainable in any way. They might have alpha-like Pokemon because there is a screenshot when you do the challenge to fight the grass leader. You can actually see that Pokemon size variations are back in the game. Various Sunflora are actually different heights from each other when they're standing next to each other. So that's a cool detail that they've added. It seems like they're being more realistic with that. But I mean, I'd love to see Alpha Pokemon return because they're super cool because they're gigantic, but also that was very clearly a Hisuian form type that would be cool to see return, but it really doesn't need to. So anyway, I just thought I'd kind of point that out. We did talk about a few new Pokemon that were revealed. Before this trailer, though, like in the last couple of weeks, we've actually seen a couple of Pokemon revealed. The first was Grafaii. Do you love that little monkey Pokemon, Jordan?
I think this is my favorite Pokemon that's been revealed so far.
It's so cool.
I like its big eyes.
I know. It's honestly super adorable, and it's definitely based on an actual Spanish painter. I don't recall his name, that would actually go out into the wild and paint really bold stripes and patterns on trees in Spain. So it's really cool to see them paying homage to that.
Okay. He also has an interesting typing, Poison Normal, which we haven't gotten that combination yet.
Yeah, he's the first of his kind. So, and he also has the Unburden ability. And Well, and Poison Touch. And Unburden is when you use your held item, you double in speed, which could be really interesting if this Pokemon has a good speed stat and has a decent move pool, I think.
Yeah. We'll have to see if it evolves, though, and what kind of speed stat that has. And then also what kind of usable items you can like pull off immediately as soon as you throw it into battle.
Right.
Maybe like a Flame Orb or something, or a Poison Orb.
Yeah, that could honestly be really good. The Poison Orb would probably work pretty well because it is Poison type. Though, can Poison types be poisoned?
I don't even know if they can.
Toxic Orb? That's a quirk I'll have to research later. but it can at least get burn. Cool to see that Pokemon. Another one that they revealed over like social media and like a small little video was actually Cyclizar, which is honestly... and at least in my opinion, very clearly a pre-evolution to Coridon and Miraidon. It's not confirmed, but he has the wheel on his chest and can be ridden around like a motorcycle.
So are Coridon and Miraidon legends then? Or are they just...
Yes, they are the box art legendary Pokemon. They have said they are legendary.
They're the box. So they have said that they're legendary. So there's only one then? Like just one just randomly evolves?
No. And you get to keep it? The Cyclizar... is actually a super common Pokemon all across the entire region. It's like the motorcycle that everybody uses, apparently. And it's Dragon Normal type, which is kind of cool to see that type return. But like literally on the website, they have pictures of people at the Pokestops and in towns riding their Cyclizars.
Yeah, so why do you get the cool one and everyone else doesn't?
So my thought is that you actually do get a Cyclizar. But you also get to ride Coridon or Miraidon. My thought is that the Coridon or Miraidon that you get in your game to ride around isn't actually yours. It's like something that the professors are investigating and researching. And Cyclizar is based off of the like leaked and rumored idea that there are past and future forms of Pokemon. And Cyclizar is going to have some sort of moment in the quest, perhaps during the Path of Legends, where you're working with your professor and you unlock the ability to either past transform it or future transform it into Coridon or Miraidon. And that's how you'll get your own copy of that legendary. Kind of like how Kubfu evolved into the two different forms of Urshifu.
Okay.
I mean, none of that is confirmed, but the leaks have heavily implied that there are past and future forms. So I think that's the more likely option, especially since the official pages for Coridon and Miraidon still don't have their typing or like any other information about them. They're just like, it's a legendary Pokemon. It's cool. details about them are still shrouded in mystery. So anyway, I just thought that was a cool and neat idea about Cyclizar. Though actually, wasn't Cyclizar revealed in the last trailer?
Might have.
Oh, well, we might have already talked about him, but at least now we're talking about how he might connect to Coridon and Miraidon now that we know a little bit more about the pathing. Anyway, so those are kind of the Pokemon. But then we also got three new Pokemon in this trailer. There's Clough. Do you like your big rock crab?
Oh, yeah. I love crabs. and Civilization VI, you can create your own religion. And like for the image of your religion, you have the option to pick between basically the star sign, sort of, and so Cancer is one of them. So I always choose Cancer and always just name my religion Crab God, Crab God. So anytime I like see a giant crab in a game, I always just scream Crab God, Crab God. So I'm excited for Crab God to join my team in Pokemon.
He looks great. And since he's a totem Pokemon, it doesn't seem that he has an evolution, or he might have a pre-evolution, but he might just be a single stage.
So are we just getting a smaller version? Because there were some small ones and there was a big one.
Yeah.
If there's a totem, then you don't get the big one.
That's what it seems like.
Unless
they have the ability to transform Pokemon into totem types. Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon actually had a system where if you collected enough stickers, you could give them to the other Professor Oak and he'd allow you to transform the Pokemon into the totem size. So maybe they'll add that. Might be a DLC thing, though. Who knows?
Yeah, it sounds like a DLC thing.
But anyway, it's a rock type. It has Anger Shell, which is a new ability, and Shell Armor. Anger Shell, when his HP drops to half or less, he gets angry It lowers its defense and special defense, but boosts its attack, special attack, and speed. So it's kind of like, what is it, weak armor or something that has a somewhat similar effect. But anyway, I think it'll be interesting. I am worried about drops in defense and special defense when it comes to losing half of his HP, because even if he does hit harder, that definitely makes him weaker. So who knows how he'll fare competitively.
I don't think he has any shot.
Yeah, probably not. Anyway, really cool looking Pokemon. They also revealed two Mega Man X characters joining.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Joining Pokemon. Seruedge, I think that's how you pronounce it. I mean, of course, we don't have a pronunciation guide for these guys, but it's a fire ghost type that has two swords and is wearing a cool set of armor. I think it looks freaking sick. And then there's Armarouge, which is a fire psychic type that has a gigantic energy cannon on its arm.
So are these version exclusives?
I believe they are. I'm not sure if that was officially confirmed. I can take a quick look on the webpage. I don't think it says anywhere that it's official. Oh, no. Yes, it does. Literally at the very top of the page. Yeah. Armarouge is Scarlet version and Seruedge is Violet. So,
yeah, purple one goes to Violet. Red one goes to Scarlet.
Yes, exactly. the rumors say that it actually has a pre-evolution form, so they're not necessarily legendaries, though that's not officially confirmed. I don't know. I think they look really cool. They've got pretty cool abilities, and I really like the sword one.
At first, I thought the sword one was a Gallade.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a regional variant of Gallade.
Yeah, both of them could have passed off as regional variants of Gallade, but... I don't know. I think they're fine. I'm not too hot on either of them.
Oh, just wait. The base Pokemon's going to be Kirlia again. And so Kirlia will have four evolutions.
please no.
The only typing that they share is psychic type. And that's only Armarouge.
It is interesting that they didn't show the pre-evolution.
Yeah. I mean, it's not confirmed, of course, but that is the rumor. So I don't know. I think it'd be really cool to get the pre-evolution. They don't look like legendary Pokemon to me. Honestly, they give off very Excelgor and Excavalier vibes to me. You know,
they just look too humanoid to me.
Yeah, they do. And they're Mega Man characters, clearly.
Yeah, yeah, they look like they're ripped straight out of Mega Man.
The trailer also confirmed a whole gigantic slew of Pokemon returning to the game. Quite a few that haven't been back since like Gen 7. I'm not going to sit here and list them, but I'm honestly just really excited that my boy Salamence is back in the main set of the game and not included as DLC. And yeah, I mean, lots of other Pokemon. It's also going to be interesting to see how they handle Vivillon or Vivillon, however you pronounce that Pokemon's name. It's the butterfly that has like 80 million forms.
Yeah, I imagine they're just going to have them spread out all throughout the world and you can just catch them all and just like it's no longer going to be based off the gimmick that it was in X and Y.
I sure hope so, because the Switch doesn't have a region. The only region that it could technically have is your time zone.
Yeah, which they still really could do. Didn't they do that anyway with the previous one? Because like in X and Y, it wasn't just like all of America had one pattern.
Well,
I'm pretty sure like.
When you had the Rocky started your 3DS, you would like select an actual region on the 3DS. That was way more specific. Like, you know, you would select your state even. Okay. And then as soon as you saved your game in Pokemon, it was locked to that region. So you could technically change the region on your console, but it wouldn't change in the Pokemon games.
I just remember some of them are really hard to find.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are super rare. But I do think that your theory has some credibility considering Pokemon Snap had all of the Vivillon forms, or at least a significant number of them, that were just scattered across different tracks in the game. So I think that they're going to do that same thing in Scarlet and Violet, because otherwise it's going to be a pain in the butt to try to complete that form dex. Like,
I mean, so basically this just having every single form of Vivillon in the base game increases collectability and side questing for the game.
Yes.
So I don't see why they would like
region
bring
lock
back
it.
The old gimmick for it.
yeah. I sure hope so. I mean, total side note, but the Pokeminers for Pokemon Go have discovered that Vivillon is actually still going to be somewhat region locked, but it's going to be based off of postcards that you can get from friends from all across the world. So you can, instead of like having to meet up and trade with people to catch a Vivillon of a particular type, you'll be able to catch your own Vivillons in your own region based off of the postcards that you receive, which is a way better system than like good luck traveling to like 20 different regions of the world just to get Vivillon.
What? Pandemic? That's no excuse.
Yeah.
Go to Tahiti.
Please don't spoof. Vivillon is such a cool Pokemon, and it's really cool that it has so many different forms, and some of them are just absolutely gorgeous. And I really hope that it's easy to collect them all, because I don't have a complete collection because I wasn't into collecting back on the 3DS. Really glad to see that it's returned. Hopefully they make it really easy. Another thing I kind of wanted to bring up, Jordan, was did you like the new UI when they showed off the map?
I actually didn't notice it at all.
Oh, well, it just looks really pretty. It actually looks really nicely drawn, and the UI in the game actually looks really consistent, at least in the menus. I don't know how I feel so much about like the somewhat opaque screens that tell you about moves that your Pokemon are using when you're in battle, but at least the menu looks really nice. And then the map also has what appear to be waypoints that you can set, kind of like in Breath of the Wild, though they did not show that off at all. They literally just clicked on the map and were like, set destination here, and then like never showed us what that actually did. So thank you Game Freak, thanks for teasing a feature and then not showing us what it does.
Have we gotten like a demo of the game where someone just sits down and plays the game like in Treehouse form?
Nope, not yet.
I feel like they really needed to do that.
They really do. Who knows if they will? It's the Pokemon company. They're still going to sell oodles of copies, so they probably don't care. Beyond that, though, another like new feature that was added to the game that kind of flew under the radar if you weren't reading the official like press releases and the website is auto battling in the wild. You can actually use what's called the Let's Go feature, which that's so confusing. Like, it's literally Let's Go exclamation point, which was the beginning of the titles of Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. But anyway, it basically sends out one of your Pokemon and they can go off walking in the direction that you send them. And then they can automatically battle Pokemon out in the wild and gain experience from it, which that's really cool that you can automate gaining experience that way, just baked right into the game. But I cannot wait for the moment when I send a Pokemon out and suddenly I hear like the shiny brink sound and my Pokemon KOs it automatically.
It's going to happen. They'll double the chances of shinies if it's auto battle.
That'd be so
cool. Just to mess with you.
Oh my gosh. Though a lot of collectors would probably be pretty happy about that. Double the chances for a shiny just by auto battling. So you just have to watch the auto battle and cancel it as soon as you see the shiny appear.
So does it take control of the game and you have to watch things, or can you send out multiple Pokemon to do multiple auto battles at once?
It looks like you can only send one out, but you can do other things at the same time.
I can't wait till I try this in a Nuzlocke and then lose my Pokemon.
Okay, I've pulled up the Let's Go mechanic from the official website. It says, you can have one Pokemon out and walking with you in the Paldea region's great outdoors. When you have a Pokemon exploring with you in the field, you can use the Let's Go feature to send that Pokemon off in the direction you indicate. The Pokemon you send out then independently picks up items in the area and even has auto battles with nearby Pokemon. What are auto battles? Auto battles are a new way of battling that can be activated by using the Let's Go feature. Doing so will send out a Pokemon to battle wild Pokemon without needing orders from its trainer. Your Pokemon can be sent into an auto battle against any wild Pokemon you see on the field, and it can even find Pokemon to engage in auto battles on its own, hence why people are afraid about losing out on shinies if it can just do it on its own. When your Pokemon is out and engaging in auto battles, you can do what you want, stay by its side to watch over it, or even try looking for items nearby. And then by defeating a Pokemon in auto battles, your Pokemon can also earn items and experience points, which earning items is interesting. It seems like they're kind of combining some of the like old Pokewalker functionality within the game itself, because you could get items and Pokemon from the Pokewalker. Anyway, that might not be the correct connection to draw, but that's what came to mind.
So how far away from your Pokemon can you be? Can you just like point off in a random direction and go off yonder that way and I'll see you next year?
I mean, I sure hope so. Like, at least until draw distance, I guess.
It's the new form of daycare.
Maybe that's how you do eggs, is you unlock the ability to send two Pokemon out and they just
it just returns with an egg.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, I have heard rumors that the way you get eggs in this game are definitely different. So who knows?
That sure would be one of them.
I know, right? Anyway. I think that's a cool little evolution for the Pokemon series, but I don't know how often I'll use it because I like battling myself. Maybe if I'm grinding and I don't want to play Pokemon while I'm working on other things, I'll just send them out to auto battle. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, you can't really abuse it for EV training because you don't have like any idea of what like EVs you're collecting out of it.
True, unless you send them off into an area that only spawns Growlithe or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it does seem from the scenes that we've seen, that was a really awkward sentence. I apologize for that. But at least from what they've shown in the trailers, it does look like there are entire regions or areas in the wild that only spawn the same Pokemon or its evolutionary forms. I don't know. We haven't seen too much of the wild area, you know, like somebody actually playing the game to know if that's really the case. But that's at least what it looks like in some places. Like, we got that first shot in one of the other trailers where it only showed Arcanines and Growlithe running around. And we saw the same thing with Cloth. You know, that was the only Pokemon out in the region. So I don't know. Either they are hiding Pokemon from us or that's actually how it's going to work.
I think they're just hiding Pokemon from us.
I mean, that's the most likely one.
Yeah, I think they are just setting their route tables to be very, very condensed. While they're showing off the game
and talking with like modders and stuff, that's something that's really easy to do even without like rebuilding the game.
Yeah, I'm sure they have to do it just for testing purposes even. So
yeah, though who knows how much Game Freak actually tests their games, am I right?
I'm sure they test them. It's just no, spaghetti code and they eventually run out of time.
Yeah, I'm sure. But beyond that, that's pretty much everything that was shown off in the trailer and all the new information we've gotten since our last Pokemon discussion. I think it was a pretty decent trailer, though I do feel like they kind of blasted information a little too quickly at us. I have seen some complaints online that at least the text boxes from some of the characters went by too fast for them to even read all of the text before it was gone off screen. So maybe they need to adjust for that in the next few trailers or something. But also I would like vocal explanations of what's actually happening or like a treehouse in the next one, because I think that the game really needs that.
Yeah, I would really like a treehouse. I feel like with no E3 this year, that kind of hurt my hype levels for this game compared to previous Pokemon. But yeah, at the same time, the last treehouse for Pokemon did not go very well. So maybe they just will never do it again.
That's highly possible.
Not going well was an understatement. It was kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I will get the game. I have pretty lukewarm expectations for the game. It looks like a Game Freak game.
It sure does.
This time open world. Yep, it sure does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm definitely getting them. You know, I've got the dual pack on pre-order, so definitely getting them still. But I'm not holding out a ton of hope for how amazing the games are going to be. I still have some pretty big issues with how the game looks visually. I know I've talked about this on previous episodes, but it honestly doesn't look like they have done too much since the last trailer to improve things. I mean, I know, I get it. There's all sorts of compression for these video feeds. You know, they have to compress the video when they render it for YouTube, and then YouTube upon upload also compresses it again. So we are not getting the full experience. And, you know, Legends Arceus definitely looked better than the trailers that we got for it. So I am expecting some visual improvements. But knowing Game Freak, there are still quite a few things about what I've seen in the trailer that I know are not going to improve or get fixed. The biggest one is anti-aliasing is non-existent in the game. And yeah, like when they showed off the, you know, evil / mischievous team for Starfall Street, there were like all of these scaffolding and like stands that you walked past, and you can see so much motion just in the actual angles there that I honestly couldn't even tell that the player character was walking in the middle. Like, I literally, my eyes just shot straight over there because there was so much movement that I didn't even know that the trainer was walking. Like, it's like, yeah. I get that anti-aliasing is hard and it's computationally expensive, but also, have you seen any of the 2017 video games, Jordan, that came out on the Nintendo Switch 5 years ago? Like, come on, Game Freak.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot better looking Switch games out there. So just because it's a handheld game doesn't mean they couldn't improve the quality. I also think the environments just look kind of bland.
They really do. An enormous number of textures, especially like grass on the ground, not the grass blades, but like, you know, the grass texture on the ground, as well as like rock faces in the distance. They just look so smooth and lifeless.
Yeah.
I need to quickly send you real quick a screenshot that I shared elsewhere just so that you can kind of see like the difference. Oh, no, I think I actually did send it to you. Did you see that one of the sunrise of you riding the Koridon off in the distance?
Yeah, everything looks so flat.
Yeah. Like, it was a like split second screen. And then I want you to take a look real quick at what Breath of the Wild managed to do 5 years ago with the same type of sunrise. Okay, do you see it? The screenshot of Breath of the Wild. This was a pre-release screenshot of Breath of the Wild, by the way.
Yeah. And on top of that, Breath of the Wild had to work like on a Wii U too. So and the draw distance is so much further on Breath of the Wild.
I know.
The lighting is so much better.
Like, look at the water in Breath of the Wild too. The water has the same glow as the sun, whereas in the Scarlet and Violet shot, it's like still blue.
Oh man, Scarlet and Violet looks so muddy.
It really does.
Everything's so brown.
Anyway, we'll have to really talk about the game's visuals when it does come out. But honestly, I'm not impressed at how it looks right now. And I really do think that they should have kept the more cartoony art direction from Sword and Shield, and even somewhat from Legends Arceus, and just improved on that. It almost feels like they're trying to like fight against three different art styles, where the environment has a different art style from the Pokemon, which has a different art style from the NPCs.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
So I don't know. We'll have to see what the final version looks like. You know, visuals are one of the things that they optimize and fix kind of last, and we're still like 2 months out.
I think the game's gotten gold by now.
Maybe, probably. Who knows? I hope it's
2 months.
Improved.
They have to print out like a billion copies and then ship them to stores.
Fair enough.
They probably at best have a month left. And this trailer was probably made a month ago.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So 2 months worth of work, basically, that they probably have access to.
Yeah, you're right. We'll have to see what it looks like on actual hardware and not in a compressed YouTube video. But I do not have high hopes for how the game looks visually. Well,
there'll be a day one patch update that fixes all the visual problems.
Yeah, all of them. Oh. It'll make the game look new. You have to download like 6 gigabytes because they've replaced every texture.
It's a 6 gigabyte download for a 6 gigabyte game. Suspicious.
Whoops. Yeah, we scrapped every single texture file. Everything's new. Could you imagine?
This is a bit of a tangent, but it always makes me chuckle whenever Magic Arena updates its game, because it's always like a 4 gigabyte file. It's like, I wonder, am I re-downloading the game?
Is there a deployment and updating routine maybe not patching things and just making me re-download everything? Weird.
Oh, Magic Arena has the worst updates. They literally sent out a bug once where a Visual Studio like pop-up would pop up.
Are you
Visual
kidding?
Studio Code pop-up. I'm not kidding. It would ask you if you wanted to download a thing, and if you clicked yes, it would brick your computer.
Oh my god. That's amazing. Oh, who let that go through prod? Oh, whatever. Video games and computers. So weird, am I right?
Yeah.
The things that we do to entertain ourselves on electronic devices. Oh, well. Do you have any other thoughts on the trailer? Any of the Pokemon information that we've had, Jordan?
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, it was 4 minutes long. I think we've kind of said our piece on everything. Hopefully we'll get some more information soon. And hopefully we do get a Nintendo Direct next week, right?
I really hope so. I'm not holding my breath, but and on top of that, it sounds like it's going to be pretty remake heavy. So,
the rumors for like Zelda Wind Waker and Twilight Princess HD are like stronger than they've ever been, I feel.
Yeah. And so there's no point in talking about these rumors because by the time this episode comes out, we'll know if there's a direct next week. But the other thing we've been hearing through the grapevine is F-Zero remake, possibly just a GameCube addition to like the Switch Online, and that includes F-Zero. That's one theory.
That'd be cool.
And then the other one being that the Fire Emblem remake we've been hearing about for a while is Path of Radiance. Basically, GameCube is getting a lot of love because also Metroid Prime. So it just makes sense since we're hearing so many GameCube games that it's a Switch Online thing.
Could you imagine if like the Direct was literally like, it doesn't say Nintendo Switch Direct, it says like Nintendo GameCube Direct.
The theory being basically that Nintendo has burned through all their ports for the Wii U and they're in the sixth year of their games console, so they have to like pull ports from somewhere. So where are they going to pull? GameCube.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that they can do it because they gave us Sunshine a couple years ago. So
yeah. And then the other one, there's been some talks of Kid Icarus being remade by Namco.
Oh, please, 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 please. Oh, so. My gosh, I would buy that in a heartbeat. I want to play that game again.
And that one we have a bit more credibility because Namco themselves have said that they are doing a remake for Nintendo of some 3D action game.
Oh, I'm so excited. I do hope that there's a direct next week. If there is, you'll definitely hear us talk about it next week.
Yeah. If not, we'll talk about Splatoon.
Yep. Because that comes out in a couple hours. I mean, I pre-ordered a physical copy, so I'll get it tomorrow from GameStop. So.
Oh. Aha, I'll get ahead of you.
Yeah, so you're going to play it before me.
I get it in a couple hours. An hour and a half.
Yep. I am really excited for it. I think it'll be really fun. So, but you can go listen to our Splatoon 3 episode about that, our pre-release thoughts. And then we'll review Splatoon if there's not a Nintendo Direct next week. And if there is a Nintendo Direct, then we'll review Splatoon 3 after that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess that's going to do it for this episode, don't you think?
Yep.
Cool. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. We sure do hope that you've enjoyed your time listening to us talk about these Nintendo things. You can check out our Discord server by going to nintendofusion.com/discord. That'll give you an invite and you can come chat with us about pretty much anything Nintendo. We'd be happy to talk about, you know, this Pokemon news or anything else that's coming out, really. We might even have like a little bit of a live Nintendo Direct party, which, I mean, depending on when that comes out, we'll see for this episode. Anyway, on top of that, please be sure to leave us a like and a comment or review, depending on what platform you're listening to us on. Doing so will feed the algorithm and let it know that you like our show so that it can recommend it to other people that might also like the show. But with all that said, I think that's pretty much it. And thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks. Bye-bye.
See ya.